As sensing how the entire territories of the traditional Indians across the country from east, west, north, and south were taken over. It's happening here in Alaska. When the men came long time ago, after the Eskimos came and lived off the land, they lived right in the snow, right off the land. It's happening to the same way it happened in the States. I couldn't believe, I still can't believe today the Indians were just demolished of their lands, demolished of all their subsistence rights and everything. It breaks my heart, you know, but we've got to work now because we're learning now what the Alaska Native Claims is about. Because I didn't know when it came on to be, I just said, well, that's something big for the other people, older people to decide on. But now, since I'm currently an IRA trainee at St. Michael, and I've learned a lot of it, and I'm really, I'll stand up as a Native as a Native person for my people, for our land, for our generations to come. Now is the time we have to strive and see what the changes are doing to our roles. As the Aboriginal people that came on way before us, we have to take all our everything back, everything that we had back then. Let's not let the culture, the white culture, or the other culture come in and take over the whole state like they did the whole states of the U.S., the whole Indian tribes. I couldn't believe it. I still can't today. And we could be proud. Just see how proud we could be of the first Eskimos of long ago when they came and lived off the snow and lived off the land. We could be proud of them now. And see what changes have happened to this very day. We've learned of the foods that they had, and that's all we need to strive for. We've got to live with the foods. We've got to live off the lands, because there's no other way we could survive. Everything, the economy changes are way beyond our own values. Our traditional culture is just being gone, and we've really got to do something. We cannot let the lands of our very own background, ancestors, families, and the future generations be demolished. We got to put the realization of our culture and heritage right in front of us. Don't think of it as, hey, the future is going to be just the way we're told to run it. We can't look on that, you know, perspective. We've got an aspect and we've got to hold on to it. Back in 1971 when the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, we hardly put a serious thought to it. You know, there were so many of us young kids, we didn't know what was going on. Hey, I thought we were going to be rich, you know. The land wasn't very important to me a long time ago because I didn't understand how culturistic our peoples were. And right now we've got a few more years. It'll happen real quick, like it'll happen, just like the years have gone by since that they passed that law. But the IRA has every right to stand on their own feet and just look at the act that the Congress passed they amended in 34. That's a long time ago. And they also gave one to St. Michael in 1884. That's 100 years ago. They said the land surrounding from Galsovia, way far away, you know, just to out Kuznick Bay, out near Hooper Bay, Powell Station, around there. It's a big territory that we've got a right to claim. We've got a right, every right we have to do for our people, our lands, our cultural heritage. You know, it's very traditional. With the growing changes our generations have come to, it's time to be involved. It's right now, right now happening. And all these villages, these IRA councils are just so important to us. You know, we don't really think of the IRA as the Indian Traditional Act, Indian Reorganization Act, and it's just so very important to your people. You would not begin to believe it. You could have your whole lands and countries just, they could be taken over, and we hardly want that, because we got to live. So, our lands pertain to a lot of the IRA. We could go to the council and let them decide, let the whole village decide how we're going to do it. We can't let our lands go because we need to live. We can't be this little the way the white people made us. They're that big, but we're this little. Look at what happened to Alaska. It's all being civilized, you know. I mean, I've seen many cultures, I've traveled a lot, and I've always felt prejudiced feelings, and I've always coped with them because I had to learn. No one taught me, but I stood up for the people, and that's what I'm doing right now. We've got the most of anything anybody else would ask for. Why ask when it can always be ours, the great lands? Thank you.
My name is Darlene, and I'm from St. Michael, and I'm a student at Anthony Andrews High School. First of all, St. Michael and Stevens students would like to thank June Degnan for making it possible for us getting here. As I understand, people who are born after 1971 don't have shares or benefits except through inheritance. I don't think that's right. I think Native people who were born after 1971 should have a right to shares. I think that's the only way of getting them involved in concerns of the Native lands in perpetuity. It's not fair to leave them completely out of this situation. We are the same set of people, yet they are not given the same right to our land. They are a part of us and should be enrollable. Thank you.
That's in writing, Darlene. Maybe you could leave it with us. Thank you. Darlene has left with me some written submissions from the students, and maybe I could read them so they'll be part of the record. This is October 3rd, 1984. It's by Jolene M. Washington, St. Michael. On shares transferability, I don't think that the shareholders should sell their shares because, one, they won't have anything else to do with the corporation, even though they're a native. Two, they will lose control over their land. Three, they won't be able to make any decisions on what they want done with their land. My suggestion is that you can sell your shares to your corporation and to other natives. My reason for that is that if people other than natives bought those shares, they might come in and take over that land. Then there's a submission in writing from Jerry Washington of St. Michael, Alaska. Jerry says, I feel that the native people of Alaska should not sell their land because it will be useful later on in life, and I think it is more valuable than money. Money comes and goes, but the land will be there whenever you need it. It will not only be there when you need it, it will last you a lifetime. And if you sell it, you will have no control over the land, and you will have nothing. 4! It's true that the owners have every right to sell their land. I think they should sell it to native people who have lived in the village or on the land for a period of time and don't own land now, instead of some other people who didn't live there at all. Or they can sell it to their native corporation so that can use it for some special purposes. By selling it to the native people or the corporations, it would help the economic development of the village. It would also help protect the people and the village from people who might not understand the importance of land to the subsistence lifestyle of this area. Well, I hope, Darlene, you'll express my thanks to Jolene M. Washington and Jerry L. Washington for their submissions. So we appreciate that. One thing to think about. Jolene Washington said, if people sell their shares, they should sell them to the native corporation or to other natives. You might think about that, because if you can sell your shares to the corporation or to other natives, then if some people do sell their shares, and it might be quite a few, even if they sell them back to the corporation, that means that the number of shareholders in the corporation will be much fewer, and you could have half the people in the village holding shares in the corporation, the other people not having any shares, and it's a human nature being what it is, after a period of time, the people who've still got shares, some of them might say, well, those people who sold their shares back to the corporation shouldn't be allowed to use the land because they don't hold shares in the land. Just think about that over the next little while, because one of the troubles with angst is every time you think you've got an answer to it, the answer seems to raise a bunch of new questions. And anyway, that's just something to think about. We don't have to figure that out today. That both the students whose submissions I read are students at St. Michael High School.
Judge Berger and the people of Uniclete and the surrounding villages. My name is Ted Kachak. Last hearing they had in Nome, I did not have a prepared statement, but I have somewhat prepared. But I'd like to introduce myself as a shareholder of Stebbins Native Corporation. Presently, I serve as the chairman and manager of Stebbins Native Corporation. Also, I serve under IRA as member. I would like to go back. First of all, I'd like to maybe tell you a little more on Stebbins. Stebbins' population presently is 350, a little less or more. In 1971, enrollment was 279 that were enrolled to Stebbins Native Corporation. And we have a land entitlement that is 112,500 acres. I always thought that this was a sort of a misunderstanding between the people that negotiated our land entitlement. But things the way they have been since 71, every time I look at our land selection, it looks smaller and smaller. I have gone to, at that period of time in 71, I went to, before that, I went to Nome Bells High, went freshman and sophomore, then I went to Lathrop High School in Fairbanks to complete my high school. And the following year, I entered Alaska Methodist University for 3.5 years. In 1970 and 71, I became aware of the Claims Act, but I wasn't fully aware of what impact it would do to me. Being just a student, I didn't know what was going on other than what was happening in the campus and at some time on TV. During that turbulent period of time, we had native leaders from all over the state that some would come to the campus and tell us what is going on with us. So I took a more interest in 71 and took Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act as a course. And I finished the course that I was taking. And I became kind of involved in protesting the land claim passage of the Claims Act. But that didn't do anything to me. But I guess it kind of made some people unhappy because there was a dissident natives that felt that we're not being treated fairly. But at the time, I expected my village corporation, Stebbins Native Corporation, to tell me that there are things, certain things that I have to do. There are stipulations in the law that required me to be enrolled, also have entitlement of piece of land that everybody feel that it's very precious to them. And this is a native allotment that I still feel that I'm still entitled to it because it was the act of Congress that I would have an application and be entitled to that native allotment. But today I my scheme of things as they are, I managed to start thinking of schemes. But this would, one of the things is to ask my village corporation that I want a title to a native allotment, which I felt that is really mine. And there are things that the corporations need to be aware of, and that their shareholders are some of their shareholders that were students at that time do not have their native allotment. I'm presently board member or chairman of the Stebbins Native Corporation, and I deal with what is going on today, not regarding other things that are happening around the village, because we have several village organizations as a result of the city in, municipal incorporating back in 69, and the IRA or village corporation incorporating 71, and as a result we have duplication of services, duplication of powers, and at times I feel that I'm torn apart between three different organizations. I felt they were trying to do the same thing, but because of the differences we have, being humans, we have prejudices, jealousy, ignorance, all of the things that have to go with the social and political life. The statement I made is my opinion, nobody else. I came over here on my own and not really representing the village corporation. I'm representing me as a person to come and make this statement. What there are things that I have to include are my rights as a resident and subsistence lifestyle that has to go with it. When I came back from high school and college, I felt that, you know, I was ready to challenge anything that goes on. And when I came back to Stebbins, I found that the Stebbins Native Corporation was made up of few people that were looked up as managers, that were capable of being managers. But we had two or three that were capable out of seven. Fortunately today, Demonstrative Corporation has at least seven board members that can and are capable managers, but two are not they're not trained to for such a work, so that is still a handicap. I guess that's where I will end my statement, Judge.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Okay, good.
Honorable Judge Berger, elderly friends, relatives in the neighboring villages. My name is Jesse Anasugak. I was born and raised in Shaktalik, but now married in Koyuk. I'm amazed what the ANGSA will do to our freedom of our life. Before the ANGSA was acted, I remember I was going free, berry picking, helping putting away food for the winter, such as fish, mead, birds. But now it seems like we go about hunting with license. For future, I like my children to be just as free as I am, like before. It will be a pitiful situation if they won't be as free if our land is being bought by other people and our people cannot go through trespasses. Money from our corporations, which I thought would support my needs, but it doesn't go through the whole year. I thought if we help our IRA taking control, will benefit us a whole lot more. Long ago, our IRA council were strong, as I've heard. Our food on the table are from the ocean, land, and air. Our native stores have a lot of food, but sometimes could not satisfy my eating the food. We're not going to get the food from other countries all our lives, so I believe our land, our boundaries are precious to us. So I'm saying let's keep and hold our land. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Good morning, Judge Berger. I'd like to continue with a few of the comments. My name is Alfred Nuckock from St. Michael. I left a few statements unsaid last night because of the time requirements of having a lot of our regional elders speak their piece. And this is in basic continuance of the same line of thought and philosophy and policy and facts of life as they exist here and now in Alaska in the villages 1984. The IRA Council, the Native Village of St. Michael, has attempted to address certain issues which are coming before us real fast and furious. And different speakers this morning have alluded to different facets of those concerns, such as having licenses to hunt and fish when those were not particular requirements of our people in the past. However, in retrospect, you know, the question could be asked that if we had been asked and we had our traditional leadership given the sophisticated training to understand how policies and acts come into being, perhaps 25 years ago when Alaska became a state, it may not have become a state. I feel that at that point in time, and as the Alaska Constitution is written, there is very little which recognizes the actual Native way of life. And it's my presumption, based upon its historical context, that if we had been involved as actively then as we are becoming involved now in the land issues, it may have been that we may have had more time in which to write into the Alaska Constitution some of the concerns we have as Native people and who are indigenous to an Aboriginal area. I'd like to read two letters which will also be submitted as prepared written testimony of the St. Michael IRA Council, and follow them up with a few closing comments, because they have a certain chronology which must be followed for them to be understood in their proper perspective and based upon the issues brought before us by outside concerns, the actual policy under which the state is run, and the fact that, as someone else has stated, we are not a conquered people. This document from the Native Village of St. Michael, the IRA Council, was written on the 12th of September and went to the Honorable Ted Stevens, U.S. Senator for Alaska, the Honorable Bill Sheffield, the Governor for Alaska, and the Honorable Frank Ferguson, the State Senator for our district. As some of the leading elected political officials and the most powerful in our area, we felt that despite the differences between the IRA itself, the obligation that we have as a tribe is to work for the common good of our members. And the federal charter, which I gave the Honorable Judge yesterday, alludes to this obligation which we have to work for the common good with the federal government and the territorial government, and which brings to mind the fact that based upon our federal charter, we have the right not only to make contact with the state of Alaska through its agent, who is Governor Bill Sheffield, but we have the right to deal with all arms of the federal government, and if it comes to the point necessary, that as law enforcement and our efforts to exercise law enforcement, we also have the right to protect our members by going to the United States Marshal. And so to get on with the basis of my comments, I will read this letter to the governor and a following letter which was sent to the surrounding eight communities of St. Michael. The Honorable Bill Sheffield, Governor for Alaska. Dear Governor Bill Sheffield, on behalf of our members, the Tajikmeut Tribe of St. Michael, we bring to you our concerns. One, our economy is subsistence-oriented, interspersed with occasional seasonal construction. The economic impact of that construction is thinned further by agreement of the workers to rotate on a two-week basis to share among villagers the payroll. Number two, members in our village with the limited cash economy cannot compete with airplanes and powerboats in hunting for subsistence foods. Number three, these professional hunters using planes are flying low over members' houses and not using the airstrip, posing serious danger to our lives and property. Number four, Chevron and Black Navigation Utana barge lines already bleed us dry by artificially high energy and transportation costs. For them to also commercially and professionally hunt and diminish our subsistence resources for profit is an insult added to injury. Number 5, our tribal lands have been expropriated without agreement and recompense. Settlement is due. Number 6, we hunt for food, not for profit. Number 7, fish, moose, seal, and caribou is a waste of resource at the expense of subsistence, especially if hunted to feed racing dogs for profit. Number 8, we hope you will respond presently as our legally elected spokesman on these immediate concerns. Sincerely, Native Village of St. Michael, IRA Council, elders and members. Signed this date, September 12, 1984. IRA President Carl Oten, Vice President John Washington, Secretary Treasurer Pius Washington, Roger Oten, Senior Member, Richard Tom Member, Catherine Kobuk Member, Clyde Coman, Fred Oyumik, Rita Oyumik, Philip Abouchuk, Cecilia Abouchuk, Virginia Washington, Esther Oten, Andrew Oten, John Chimak, Damian Tom, Alexander Nixick Sr., Louise Nixick, Steve Oten, Henry Lockwood, Peter Abouchuk, Alex Nixick Jr., Lawrence Lockwood Jr., Susanna Horn, Lawrence Abouchuk, Mallory Tom, Helen Olinger, George Oten, Anthony Nixick, Thomas Chimak, Elvira Oten, Annie Oten, Susie Oten, Vincent Oten, Elsie Chimak, Alex Oyumik, Elias Akagan, Albert Washington, Alfred Nakak, and Bibiana Washington. Now, the reason I read this is it's not a statement of someone who's just trying to stir the pot over these issues. But this is a feeling which has been attested to by more than 40 members of our tribe, and I feel it's a strong statement of concern. And as I stated, this document went to the governor, Senator Stevens, and Senator Ferguson. Subsequent to this letter going out to those individuals, the IRA Council, because of the importance of the issue brought forth, wanted to contact the 8 communities based upon our traditional use and occupancy of lands and waters, sent copies of this letter to the governor with a cover letter, which I will read. And this went to the Native Village of Unaclete, the IRA Council. Brothers and sisters, from time immemorial, our ancestors have been neighbors looking to the common good of our peoples. In this year, 1984, we ask your help to protect our common lands and waters for future generations. The subsistence resources of lands, waters, and air used to sustain our families are under assault by others for reasons of profit. Those who can afford airplanes and camps can also afford Safeway for cheaper. We cannot afford Safeway, nor can we afford to have the limited food on a hoof decimated by trophy hunters out for sport. Our subsistence resource must be protected from commercial exploitation. The option otherwise is to have our subsistence resources go the way of furs with the Cossacks, gold with the Gussacks, fish with the state, and oil and gas with the industry. We have sent this letter of concern to Senator Stevens, Governor Sheffield, and Senator Ferguson. Against all odds, we look to survive as the original people of the Big Bay, the Tajikmeut. Peace to your people. Sincerely, Carl Oten, President, IRA Council, Native Village of St. Michael, signed by Richard Tom, Catherine Kobuk, John Washington, Clyde Coman, Pius Washington, and Roger Oten, Sr., all members of our council. And I submit these as further testimony from the IRA Council of St. Michael.
Thank you. Thank you.
I should state that these documents went to the communities of Unaclete, Grayling, Anvik, Pilot Station, St. Mary's, Mountain Village, Kotlik, and Stebbins, all of whom, included with us, share the same historical hunting, fishing grounds, and waters in our whole territory. We are faced now not only with reviewing what happened with Alaska becoming a state and us becoming a Native corporation, but the actual responsibility we have to look out after these lands which belong to our people. We have a place called Uznuk, and we have a place called Deniti at St. Michael. And those of you who know Uznuk know it's a point. Well, about 25 years ago, Standard Oil Company of California just went and put about a million gallon storage tank farm on our point. Now they have the balls to call it Standard Oil Point. And in our language and to our people, that's still Uznuk. But because of the fact that they have put a fence across our land, we can't cross that land now. I figure they owe us some back rent, and I feel that there's probably some kind of overriding royalty in perpetuity, which I would institute if I was to be the negotiator on this particular contract. We have a place called NET, and I'm sure a lot of the people here from the whole Norton Sound area are aware of those areas. NET is where now we have black navigation. Black navigation, Utana Barge Line, does not hire one local person. And here, historically, we used to have boats called the Chloe, the Stewart, the NC boat, the Warrior, Kayumi, Misabi, all these boats, the Mildred. They used to go up and down the Yukon and up and down the Norton Sound coast, down to the Yukon, Kuskokwim, and up into the Tin City area and every place else. And the crews were St. Michael people. And occasionally, wherever they'd stop, they'd pick on another local crew member. But now, by a legal loophole, they can enroll a white person at St. Michael after staying there for 30 days, become a registered voter, and thereby called a resident of St. Michael. These 30-day miracles are going to keep on coming into our communities, and just by the fact that they're there 30 days, they can qualify to be a registered voter at your community. And as more and more and more of these people come in and become the voters in your town, your strength as a people will be diminished. So anyway, it's these folks who are the workers for Black Navigation and Utana Barge Lines and for Chevron, you know, these people who come up as the Vista Volunteers to show us how to save our people. The only thing I've seen them do is save the jobs for themselves. They make a good deal with the oil company or a big store, and they become the manager, and they're the Chevron agent and everything else. And you know, these Vista Volunteers, they're just another different kind of missionary. But I haven't seen one of them live in a little shack. They get company paid buildings, they get subsidized utilities. They don't have to pay for a doggone thing, plus they get a license to do business, and they're probably already looking at the subsurface estate on our properties. Anyway, that NET is still ours, and Uznuk is still ours, and when it comes time to negotiate for these properties and the rents that are due our people, they will go to the people, to the IRA tribe, because those are lands which have traditionally belonged to our people. The idea of setting up a regional IRA, I think it has a terrific amount of merit. I think this group of people here are more closely united at this particular meeting than I have ever seen before, because I think we all realize that while the land claims was a big federal law, it really wasn't the answer that we were looking for, even if at the time it was a political settlement. And political settlements are just that. There's a whole bunch of give, and we're the ones who gave. And so based upon these comments, the written testimony that we have submitted, the tribe, the IRA tribe of St. Michael, is looking at working very closely with our fellow tribes people, our fellow Inupiaqs, to work together to protect our lands. And with the interest expressed by our young people, and we support it 1,000%, I feel that we've got a good head start on saving our lands and our life. Thank you, Your Honor.
I've been asked about taking a break for lunch. I'm willing to, if there's any of you who would like to speak before lunch, we can carry on for a little while. But if you'd like to stop now, we could take a break and come back at 1:30 after lunch. I'm really in your hands, whatever you people think. Mary, what do you two think? You're the organizers.
I think we should ask the people here. Is there anyone who would really want to talk before we take a break? We can do that.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Bernadette Tom from St. Michael's. I'm going to talk Eskimo because I can't talk really good English.
Is there somebody who can interpret that later?
Yes.
Okay.
You can come down now. I think they know how to.
Go ahead, Mrs. Tom. Sorry.
Nangulawani Huakanakta, Nanguk Ngamnuk. Unawani land claim settlement. Kangachif Kunakusai Nakushwaka. Dakunwani Hua Adam Bui Nunautukamnuk Hunter Lachta. Tukhunga Nunautukamnuk Angpokpokanani Anganri Toktauna Nunautuka. Ukutam Tutranka King of Seed Ukut Ichnianka. Ichnyangka. Dort in the man Iokan Slight Big Gownatum. Mikiskitsika Dauna Hanterushkartan a slight nun shis hoka.
The reason why I give her testimony on despite the Land Claim Settlement Act, because of that allotment what she have received, what she have signed for. And then she said it's too small because of her grandchildren are growing without enrollment. And that's why she said she put it to her grandchildren and so they can use it for subsistence for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Would
you
like any in Okay.
Hey, you could do better than me.
Just further. I thought I'd help out here. Earlier, she stated that her name is Bernadette Akeitutsuna.
Tom
now. And she said that during the Claims Act, the passage of the Claims Act, she did not understand what was going on. So when the applications came for Native allotment, she just went and signed it without fully understanding what was going on. And even at this time, she does not understand clearly what the Act is trying to tell, what the Act, how the Act is interpreted. So she could go ahead.
You could do better than me, take it. Dot damuk to koyan rilama kanak to Ogonuk Dutamnuk Kayuha Hantio Maskatnik Dartin Slang Sunrilama Miksumni Slangwa Grandmamni Magonuk Gasakhtarnuk Nuklerluta Anglin Ritukut Yupichtachlainanuk Unakni Machbimuk Makan Unam Kainanuk Nanranuk Now, my friend, Nuklerlut at Slangwood, Slangwa, Jolimak Nunam Kanganuk, Pitachkanuk, Nukluta, Slangwa. Dawat, Nwani, what Jolly, what Dawa, Mark Nunam Kanganuk, Nuklerloa, Jolly Weed Down a Ma, Damakut. Tamarim Ritanka, Wattawa, Mani, Nam Kangani, Anachtaklumni, Nokka Tamakut, Unani, Machpigmi, Nunam Kangani, Mani, Sununam Kangani, Namasrit.
Her reason for making a statement is clear that she is not happy with what the, how things are going. Especially in regard to her grandchildren. As she stated, that she was born, when she was born, she stayed with her grandmother. And in those periods of time, they go out and hunt, subsistence hunting and fishing. And the native allotment that she has, she feels that this cannot accommodate all of her grandchildren when they get older and where they could go out and subsist. See.